wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer, who just chugged a beer.
Yeah.
And I am Jeremy Lance, sipping.
It makes me sound a bit like an alcoholic here. I was finishing off the last of my first beer,
which,
by the way, you downed probably twice as fast as I did.
There's no proof. Zero proof.
That's true. It's all hearsay at this point.
It's your word against mine.
All the listeners will be able to verify that I'm holding up my full second beer.
They can totally see that.
Yeah, they really can. Here, I'll do my best to pour it.
What are we drinking tonight, by the way? We're drinking a new beer from a new brewery here in Cincinnati, aren't we?
Yeah, March 1st Brewing. We're drinking here tonight. I believe we're drinking their Denali IPA, which is...
quite scrumptious.
It is quite scrumptious. So good that we're both under our second one of them. So, it's nice and tasty. Good way to start the pod.
It is a good way to start the pod. You know what would be a bad way to start the pod?
What's that?
Talking about our fantasy teams.
Ooh, yeah, that's a bad place to start for sure. But we will start there because, well, that's where we start every time.
And, yeah, that's what we do.
And we really like self-deprecation. So I think that's probably the right place to go.
Couple of masochists over here.
Should we start with the Premier League? Because that's where we tend to suck the most.
Well, the MLS is over, so I wouldn't imagine to do that one.
No, we don't need to do that one. But I have it down here because I actually looked into it just like a hair more than last week.
Just to make sure we can get our – mention that winner again.
Yeah, one more time. Derek Friedman, you are the winner in the MLS side. Designated failures, 106-point victory over Kevin Fedorov's Gianni Walker Wisdom. I also looked into this. Derek Friedman, his side led every single week of season 5 of the podcast.
Wow.
So we're on, I think this is 13?
Yeah.
Or 14? Either way. So all of those. And then he also did the last 2 weeks of season 4. Now, I did not do my homework and go and see if he
had any dips during the summer.
Any dips and didn't sit at the top of the table. But that was incredible dominance. Again, we were terrible in that league. I finished 48th. You finished 57th. Mm. Neither one of us really moved off of the bottom 10. The entirety of the season. So, we're bad there. In the English Premier League Fantasy League, this means this is the last time we're doing MLS updates. So, Derek, if you didn't hear this,
you won,
and that's your last notice. Mm-hmm. We did see a new leader for the second week running, So Help Me God by Luke Burrows. He dethrones Didier Drogba's Neymar record. At the top of the table, I fell 3 places to 101st. You improved 2 places to 94th.
Weird, because I think I forgot to remove the captaincy from Harry Kane.
I totally forgot to update my team for the third week in a row.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well.
My position in the table is well-deserved.
Sure is.
At least.
All right, let's get into it. And I got bad news. We're starting with bad news.
Ah, God damn it.
United 1, mm-hmm. Spurs 0.
Yeah.
So Spurs now 0-2 against top 4 opponents on the season.
Is this said to me to make me be worried?
Just saying words. Talking.
If they were words said to you, how would you feel about them?
If that was words said to me, I think we are 1-1 mm-hmm. against top 4 opponents.
Slightly less concerned.
Yeah, not super, but you know, not a whole lot better. I'd be a little concerned. But you know what? I always say, I'm always of the mindset. It's not how you do against the big teams. It's how you don't drop points that you shouldn't be dropping.
Yeah. You hear a lot about clubs that are like kingmakers. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who knock off points from the contenders in the title race, and ultimately,
like Crystal Palace beating Chelsea too.
Yeah, right. Like that's a team that could potentially play a kingmaker in the role of who wins the title this year.
While finishing 20th.
Yes, which is incredibly likely at this point. That said, neither Spurs or United are kingmakers in that raid. But they're two of the arguably the top 3 teams in England right now. I think there's kind of a clear top 3 that's kind of settled in so far this year. In the two Manchester sides and Spurs, and then there's a little bit of a gap, not a huge one, between like Chelsea and then maybe Liverpool and Arsenal. They kind of fall right outside that. And
right. So, I think Chelsea's like 4 points back of United, and Spurs is like 3 points back of United.
Yeah. But I do feel like we've already seen that stratification a little bit. And, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. The things will probably change, and I'll look like a fool for saying this in a few months. But going into this match, you kind of knew it was going to be a tough one, just the way that United desperately needed the points. They dropped a couple games recently.
Yeah, lost to Huddersfield. There's a kingmaker for you.
Yeah, no kidding. And so then the news broke on, I think it was Friday, that Harry Kane was going to be missing this week.
So now what happened here? So he hurt himself at the end of the, was it the West Ham match?
Yeah, so Spurs played West Ham. And how'd that go? They lost after going...
But you guys had that, like, lead.
Yeah,
like,
we were up 2-0 and then gave up 3 goals in, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
In the Caribou Cup? The Carabao? How do you say it?
Now? Caribou Coffee Cup?
Yeah, that's what I think every time.
I found that stuff, that Caraba. Looks like your heart will just explode out of your chest if you drink
it. It's basically English 5-hour energy, isn't
it? Well, so I found it at Jungle Gyms, which, if you don't know, if you don't know from the area... That's like this giant amusement park-like international supermarket in Cincinnati.
It sounds a ridiculous thing. And it legitimately is. If you ever come to Cincinnati and you're not from Cincinnati, go there. It is absolutely the original one in Fairfield. Yeah.
But so they had it, but it was in like the Asian section. Like I forget, I don't know what country I was actually in mm-hmm. in that section, but that's where I found it.
Okay.
And it was like this little green bottle, and it was 99 cents. And I was like, ooh, I might just need to try that just to see what all the hubbub was about. What all the hype is around. And then I thought, and then I just had like a cartoon image of my heart like exploding out of my chest.
And you've had some heart issues.
Yeah, so this, I have,
these aren't
I've had,
things.
I've had several.
These aren't things to joke about.
Yeah, I don't need to be messing with that.
So wise choice. But can we just call it the League Cup? Can we make an ode to just call it the League Cup?
Yeah, so I always call it the League Cup. Okay, fine. EFL Cup.
But yeah, Spurs dropped that. Kane, I'm not sure if he got injured there or if it was actually in last week's midweek game, whatever the case may be. He picks up this hamstring injury that has him a doubt for this weekend. Now, obviously that came true. And then,
cause he first had the injury and people were like, nah, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. Fine.
It turns out it wasn't so fine. He needed to sit out this weekend. The hope being that he will be fit in time for Wednesday's match against Real Madrid at Wembley. So there's obviously big fish to fry on both fronts. But I think every Tottenham fan, when they saw that Kane was going to be out of this game, went, crap.
And they're like, oof.
Crap. We all got bristled by the comments from Guardiola a few weeks ago when he referred to Tottenham as the Harry Kane team. But it's kind of truthful, and we've all kind of known it. Spurs pick up the points when he's not in the team, but not as regularly. And this was a weekend where the not as regularly came to the fore.
And he did come to the fore, but it was late on that United, through Lukaku's very fortunate header that gets played forward right into the path of Martial,
mm-hmm.
who fires it past Lloris. A beautiful little play there. 81st minute,
mm-hmm.
and that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, at Spurs, you look at the stats of the game; it's fairly even. Spurs were in the driving seat pretty much all the way up until the 60th minute, and really should have taken their chances. But you could tell without Kane and his clinical finishing ability. Of their kind of cap off the movements that they had, that was the missing piece. And I think we all kind of knew that something was going to be up with that. You mentioned Martial. They brought him on as that second half sub. Lukaku, he made the starting 11. There had been a lot of pressure for him to be dropped. When you cost 60 million plus pounds, like, you don't get dropped very frequently.
Right.
But there was pressure to drop him given their poor run of recent results. And then...
is that his fault?
I don't know, but he's also not been as hot as he was at the start of the season either.
It's almost as if like there isn't like a guy behind him that's able to give him like great service, like some guy named Paul.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean he's hurt, so yeah. Obviously that's going to play a huge factor, especially the way he started the season. That's obviously going to play a huge factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
To what they're doing.
But you know, they enter this game. With all this pressure and Lukaku, I actually think he does really well for kind of when he's isolated the way he was today, or this weekend, to fight and to retain possession and actually give them that outlet. And he did that this time around, and incredibly, he's able to knock it on. But what was crazy about Martial, like scoring that goal, was they hauled off Rashford for him, and there were legit sections of the crowd, you could hear it on the match broadcast, booing the decision. Because Rashford's kind of the hot toy on the on the market as far as United fans.
Why is that?
You know, just English and
yeah, there it is.
Hype and youth and academy and blah blah blah. But good for both of them. Bad for Spurs, obviously. Mourinho had a lot of praise for Tottenham both before and afterward. I do think that was a bit mind gamey. Like, he wants to give Tottenham a lot of credit so that he doesn't have to give City any credit. Like, I think that's legitimately his angle on that front.
I don't think he'll be doing that next week if he wins. There will be no credit for the opponent next week, as United head to the Bridge next Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big one. Last time Mourinho rolled in with his Red Devils, he got punched in the mouth with a 4-0 loss that got on them in a hurry. I think Pedro started things going with like a goal in like 30 seconds into the match.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't feel like that's going to be the case this time. I think it's going to be a much more cagier affair.
So glass half empty prospects right now for you, huh?
That's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I roll all the time.
Yeah. Let's not dip our toes too far into the Chelsea waters. Now, we'll get there. We will, I promise.
They're later in on the rundown.
Yeah.
We got to stay more, as you say, glass half empty. And this glass may be almost completely empty.
Yeah.
Everton lose again. Actually lose twice this week.
Yeah.
They put out a lineup in the Caribou Coffee Cup against Chelsea's legit B-side.
Yeah.
And got worked. Ended up getting like a goal in like the last 2 seconds to kind of make like save face, but they lose 2-1 in that one. Didn't look good. And when we last left you, Koeman, hey, that guy's probably going to get fired here soon.
Well, guess what? He did.
Yeah, before we even had this podcast released.
I think in the time while you were editing and I was publishing, he was sacked in that window. By the way, calling it the Caribou Coffee Cup.
We got to go with
look,
that, right?
Listen, Caribou Coffee, I don't even know if you're a thing still. Are they around still?
In stores are still around.
Okay.
And I actually went to a Caribou Coffee in Minnesota.
Okay.
On a away trip with the Saints 2 years ago. That's the last time I've seen an actual brick and mortar store.
There used to be one up in Dayton.
There used to be a ton around here.
But look, we'll take you as a sponsor. If you want to be the sponsor of the League Cup on our podcast, we will call it the Caribou Coffee Cup.
You can still buy the coffee in stores.
Yeah, okay.
I know that much.
But yeah, staying on track with Everton, this was a, maybe we could class it as a, we recently sacked our manager cup.
Yeah,
In
the battle of two teams that had to hit the eject button on the cockpit there.
Yeah, Leicester having just recently let go of Craig Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
They've now hired, and this was the first game in charge on the release of the touchline for Claude Puel.
Yeah.
The Frenchman, inspiring them to a 2-0 win over Everton. Jamie Vardy scoring the goal. This is the third straight manager now for Leicester that Jamie Vardy's opened their account for. Their opening goal was textbook Leicester City counterattack. Have to give incredible praise to Damari Gray, who kind of led that counter with a breathtaking individual effort. Perhaps slightly lucky, but incredible sprinting. I saw a couple people refer to him as Damari Bale Gray today.
Just pump those brakes.
But the way that he made that run happen, it felt very Gareth Bale-esque, to be honest. But textbook. But it was also wretched defending from Everton. And this is
not something they're known for.
This is the crux of Everton. Like, they went out and bought like 30 tens in the summer window, in the last couple windows. And also Ashley Williams. Like, that's all the attention they've really paid to their back line in recent years. And they are desperately terrible, like, defending-wise. I saw the combined age for their starting center back pairing was 68.
Mm.
68. Which, that means the average age is 34.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to think. Chelsea's center back pairing right now.
Cahill's probably, what, 30?
Cahill's like 30, 31.
David Luiz is like 29, somewhere in there.
But Cahill, you're getting phased out. So, yeah, like Rudiger is like 22, 23, 24, something like that.
So, and that's where all the issues are, that and the fact that they have all these 10s. They started the game, by the way, with their three biggest recent signings all on the bench. Sigurdsson,
that's a lot of money.
Niasse and Schneiderlin all start on the bench.
Right.
Aaron Lennon got the start, though.
Well, you got that going for you, then.
Yeah. I guess that's something to hang your hat on.
Did you tell your daughter about that?
I did. I was like, hey,
bring over to the TV. Hey,
look at that. That's the guy you're named
after. That guy?
But it's just super interesting, and you kind of get it. Like, Puel comes in. They had this new caretaker manager that's here in place, and he's trying to put his foot down a little bit. I think a lot of the issues really revolve around the fact that they bought Sigurdsson and also brought in Rooney, and they're starting Rooney for sentimental reasons.
Right.
When they probably should be starting Sigurdsson.
Sell those shirts. Sell those shirts.
Got to do what you can. But
I mean, they spent all that money. They got to get those back in shirt sales.
Yeah. I guess that's the case. But Everton remain in the danger zone.
Yeah, they're in 18th. That's where they remain. And I don't know what's going to change. First of all, they, I guess, need to figure out a manager situation here.
That would be
in the near future.
Important, to say the least.
But, like, players they have, I mean, they're kind of you wait till January, but you've already spent all this money. I mean, how much more are you going to spend?
A lot. I mean, they're going to have to spend a lot.
They have to spend their way out of relegation.
Either that or figure out some sort of team dynamic that's going to start putting the defensive pieces together. I think draws at this point would be welcomed, given how terrible it's been for them on any of the fronts that they're fighting. So, it's kind of like you said, there's no light at the end of the tunnel at the moment, and I think they're going to be in a world of hurt for a while to come, unless they can get in someone who really knows what they're doing and can work some magic with the team.
All right. That was depressing. Let's whip around the rest of the league. We'll start with Arsenal. They get the 2-1 win over Swansea in this one.
After going down early on.
That definitely happened.
Yeah.
But they score two in the matter of 7 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was Kolasinac and then Ramsey on Aaron the Ramsey, assist from Kolasinac. I can never say his name correctly. But regardless, good bounce back for Arsenal. Starting to gain a little bit of steam.
Yeah, I think they're on level with points with Chelsea, so they're in fifth place right now. Yeah.
Speaking of Chelsea, they get a 1-0 win today.
Yay! A 1-0 win over Bournemouth. Yay! Look, 19th place. Yay!
Bournemouth at home are a tricky side. I think 19th is a little harsh on where they are in the table at the moment.
I will actually give you that. That is a little harsh. If you go back and you actually look at how they've played lately, really just through the whole season, like they're in all their matches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were in the match against Spurs. They were in the match against Everton. Okay, maybe not in the match against Arsenal. But they lose to City early in the season 2-1, in which they actually took the lead, had the opening goal in. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, they're a team that's like not – they're not wretched.
Mm-hmm.
But the results, just nothing's gone their way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've kind of said it there in that it's good that they're in all these games, but being in all these games and then ultimately turning in all these games into points is what matters, and that's how you survive. But I do think it's a little harsh on them. But Eden Hazard getting the winner for you. Alvaro Morata missed a few chances in this one.
He had more than a few chances. Mm-hmm.
How's that make you feel?
That there is my concern right there. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not, there's going to be matches where it's just not going to be the striker's day to be the guy to put the team on his back. There's going to be days where you're going to miss a chance or two.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of chances he missed in a match against the team in 19th place is definitely worrisome. And you look like you're heading into this match against United, and it's like, I just, you know, that's what I loved about Diego Costa. That's what I loved about, like, these big strikers that we've had in the past. Is heading into big matches, I didn't, like, I felt comfortable. Like, hey, we got him. Like, he's going to be up for this. He's gonna try to get himself a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the pedigree to do it. This is the big thing about Morata. Is Morata, this is his first time actually being, you know, actually, let's back that up. Like, this is not just his first time being the man. This is, like, his first time being a regular member of a starting 11.
Yeah, that's probably, like, true.
He's been this young guy that's going to be, you know, this up-and-coming guy at all these other big clubs. This is, he's been thrust into, like, hey, man, you're the guy. Like, we're going to, our offense goes through you. And now
you are the pinnacle of what we're trying to do here.
And I think he hasn't figured that out yet, and he hasn't at least proven to me that I can trust him to, like, hey, going into a big match, like, he's going to go out and get himself a goal. He's done it once. He scored against Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
In Madrid. That was pretty big.
Yeah. Considering that he'd spent a lot of his time at that club.
Yeah. It helped that he was, you know, born in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that gave him a little bit of inspiration there to score. But you're right. So I was a little bummed out about Chelsea's performance. I think Begovic actually played really well, though.
Mm-hmm.
Against his former side. You know, it's, you know, you had Begovic, you had Nathan Ake. I mean, these are two guys that won the title Chelsea last year on this Bournemouth side that's supposed to be doing a lot more, but they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still foolish that anybody is considering Eddie Howe on the hot seat, though.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's foolish.
That would be so horrible.
Given what he's achieved with this team.
This is the man that has dragged you all the way up. And all the way up to, you know, the pinnacle of finishing ninth place last year?
Yeah. Look, if they fire him, they deserve whatever bad karma comes their way. Like, seriously, regardless of how it plays out. Like, everyone likes Bournemouth, and Eddie Howe is a huge part of that.
So he...
Huge.
Hey, Everton.
Oh, my.
Do you go try to pip this guy?
There's a call.
Because the block might be hot over in old Bournemouth. Then. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe he's sitting there feeling the pressure, and you're Everton. You come by with your, hey, we're Everton, and would you like some money? And, man, that would be the move right there.
It would be an enticing move, but perhaps a little hamstrung, given that maybe they won't be as willing to spend as they have in recent times, given how that's gone. So, but Chelsea do get that win as you guys keep yourselves tracking the top four.
Yay.
Almost.
Other people tracking the top four. How about the people at the top of said top four? City eke out a 3-2 win over West Brom.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I watched most of this game. You look at that scoreline, you go, ooh, City, you know, pipping it. Uh-huh. At no point during this entire match did you think City are going to lose this.
Like, no.
There was literally no point. No. Even when City popped out to an early lead, West Brom struck back almost immediately through J. Rodriguez, by the way, who I forgot was A, no longer injured, and B, no longer at Southampton. Like, just completely forgot that was happening. But even when he equalized right away, it was like, ah, City still have this. Their third goal, by the way, was just a masterclass build-up. Like, just wonderful. If you're someone who's into, like, total football and, like, want to see a team build up a goal, go back and watch that one. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, they have the parts to do it, so.
Mm-hmm. And both goals that the Baggies got were completely gifted by the City defense.
And the second one, for people who didn't watch it, you're right, the scoreline is super flattering. That last one came in, like the last kick of the match.
It was, literally like the 94th minute. So, but City remain at the top, chugging along just fine. The other side kind of knocking on the top four ranks. Liverpool 3-0 winners over Huddersfield. The match billed as a match between friends. And Jurgen Klopp and Wagner.
Literally
friends.
Like, they was like Wagner was in Klopp's wedding.
Yeah.
Like, in the party. Like, best man.
It's crazy. Super crazy. American Wagner.
Yeah. Literally nothing American about the guy. I never looked it up. Like, how does he have, does he have like an American parent?
I think so.
So that's how he pulled his handful of caps for the U.S. Men's National Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, we'll claim it. We will take it.
Chalk it up.
Liverpool got off to a bad start in that they were given a penalty. Mo Salah had that penalty saved. He crushed the ball, not particularly well placed, though. Huddersfield cleared it off. But Daniel Sturridge redeems that miss.
Totally redeems
himself. He did. And it wasn't him, obviously, that missed the penalty, but in a rare start. Like, I feel like we never see Daniel Sturridge anymore in his silly arm dance. But he was able to break it out today, or this weekend, and then follow that up with Firmino and Wijnaldum goals to guarantee the 3 points. So, keeping pace themselves, although if there's a side that I think is kind of at the bottom rung of those challengers for the top four, I think Liverpool would probably be it.
Speaking of bottom rung, Crystal Palace 2, West Ham 2. Crystal Palace grabbing the equalizer in this one in the, wait for it, 97th minute.
Yeah, incredible. And of course, who gets that equalizer is no one other than Wilfried Zaha, who, if they have a mercurial player, he is definitely it. Kind of hot in recent weeks, Zaha has been. But let's not be totally unfair to Palace. They were down 2-0, so fought back well to get themselves
involved. Chicharito had a goal in this one.
Mm-hmm. You're always down for that.
Oh, that always makes me smile.
Just puts a little tickle in your belly.
Always leaves me smiling and satisfied. Watford 0, Stoke 1. Watford kind of falling back down to earth now, as they were literally just 2 weeks ago in fourth place. Losing 4-2 to Chelsea, and then now really hitting the dregs when you drop points. All 3 points to Stoke. Other matches moving over. The other game here on Sunday as we record. Brighton Hove Albion, Southampton, 1-1 draw. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
I think there actually is a Monday match. Burnley, Newcastle. And also, I think today started matches are going to be later for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they their daylight savings time is a couple weeks ahead of ours.
I'm okay with that. I don't need 7:30 kickoffs.
Yeah,
I just don't need them.
Don't want them.
No,
not a fan.
No. And then I think that completes the weekend on the Premiership side of things. Shall we move over into domestic matters?
Yeah, a lot of domestic stuff as we've hit kind of the postseason around all of domestic football here in the States. All of the pro leagues that are going. NASL will be hitting their postseason here real soon. But USL postseason, and now we've had our first batch of games in the MLS postseason. Let's start there. MLS playoffs. And I think there's really only one place to start.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Crew SC go down to Atlanta. The high-flying Atlanta United City FC Real and get the win on 0-0, win on penalties. Zach Steffen just having a revelation for the Crew.
Yeah, he was incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. Look, we'll get to national team stuff a little bit later on, but if there's a guy who might have earned himself a call-up to the national team over the course of the last week, it's Zach Steffen.
Yeah. Like,
an absolutely mind-bogglingly good performance.
You know what the best part about his performance is? He's, like, still super young.
Yeah, he's, I think, 22.
Yeah.
So
plenty more where that came from.
That's absurd.
We're building from there.
I always remind people, Zach Steffen last year was playing in the USL as a loanee to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. So, and he was fantastic for them at times as well. So, great performance from him. A couple really, really big stops in that game. If there was a man of the match in it, it was definitely Zach. Getting the Crew all the way through 120 minutes scoreless, and then making two stops.
Yeah.
In the penalty shootout at the win, is the Crew win 3-1 on that front. I think it was 3-1, 3-2, 3-1. Either way, They win on penalties.
They won.
The penalties themselves were dramatic. But before we even got to them, let's just real quickly talk about this. There's like 70,000 people in Atlanta, like as is the case
right
now for them. The crew, obviously, with their news about them potentially moving to Austin.
Bit of some news, hey?
Coming literally in the lead up to this match. That happens, right? They're going to face the new darling of the league. And, you know, you think about this. If MLS is looking at pure, like, crowds that they'd like to have on national television for their playoff games, the league office would have been pulling for Atlanta to win this game, right? The crew, their attendance struggles and all this, there's literally probably not a scenario that they would have liked less as far as just pure marketing standpoint stuff goes. So they've got all this stuff stacked against them, right? This high-powered Atlanta team that's just chock full of attacking talent. They have Tata Martino, the former Barcelona manager, leading the way. The crew dragged themselves through this match. Both teams hit the post. Both keepers making ridiculous saves. They get all the way to injury time. Before injury time is reached and before they get into the extra time, their former captain, who's carrying a knock, gets subbed on against them.
Yeah.
Like, he was their captain last season.
Yeah.
Comes on, Michael Parkhurst.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, yeah, that's right. Michael and I have a very intertwined story that goes back nearly two decades at this point.
Yeah.
He wore
some merch for us.
Yeah, he did. He wore a shirt that featured his name on it, a national team shirt, back when he was in the running for World Cup places. But he comes on, and then in extra time proceeds to goal line clearance, save Atlanta.
Yeah.
Forcing penalties. And then
that was Harrison Awful with the shot. I think Awful had two near misses.
Yeah,
right before full time.
Not a guy normally known for scoring, by the way.
No, not at all.
They get all the way to these penalties. Stefan makes a huge first save. Then Pipa Higuain walks up in front of a house of 70,000 people.
What you gonna do?
After seeing the previous penalty save.
Well, actually, first Kai Kamara said, "I'll take the kick." And they were like, "No, you're actually not even on the team
anymore. You're not even on the team anymore. You don't get to do it." People walks up and Panenka's it right down the middle, perfectly lofted. No way for Brad Guzan to save it in any capacity. The balls of steel you would need to do that Panenka in that scenario, I can't even fathom. Unreal.
Cue the meme of the dad from South Park with the giant balls in the wheelbarrow.
Oh yeah, definitely. Randy Marsh just wheelbarrowing his balls along. And that's who Gonzalo Higuain was. Atlanta up next with that, and then they proceed to try to shoot it down the middle as well. That seems like a silly thing to do after a Panenka. That's saved. They also see Jeff Lorenowitz hit the post. That sets it up nicely for the crew to go on and win. Look, I tweeted this out after the game. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But for people that think soccer is boring and like the lack of goals is like what it's all like boils down to, this was one of those games where you're like, hey, if you'd like to watch a game that lacks goals and you want to have a fun time watching it, even if you're not into soccer, this was your textbook example. A magnificent 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I was texting with my buddy Gunnar Dave and basically just telling him to just abandon his duties as a father, putting his children to bed. Like, just cut bait on that.
Yeah.
You need to get over to the TV.
They're going to go to bed every night. You can do that again later.
You need to find TV right now and watch.
Yeah. So, fabulous game. The crew advanced. They'll be facing NYCFC.
Who they literally just played a week ago.
Yeah. This week in Columbus.
Yeah, on Halloween night.
Yeah, couldn't work out worse for the crew in that respect. literally, couldn't pick a worse day for them to host.
It's almost as if MLS didn't want to give them a good date. But I think they're going to have like a trick-or-treat thing there for the kids. So if you are in the area and you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go to that game. Oh, crap, I have to take my kids trick-or-treating.
You can do both.
Allegedly, you can do both.
Yeah.
Why not both?
Yeah, have your kids ever done trick-or-treat at a tailgate? I bet they haven't.
No, we did a trunk-or-treat today.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then there was horses there. My kids rode around on a horse.
that's weird. You don't think normally that people would bring a horse to a trunk or treat. By the way, I'm just going to say this.
There's like four of them, yeah.
Trunk or treats are weird.
They're weird. Not if you're a kid, though, that's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Because, like, you're just going to walk around a parking lot and get, like, just as much candy as you would if you had to, like, walk, you know, like, half a mile. Elsewhere, New York Red Bulls ran roughshod.
Yeah.
Over Chicago, ending what was a really good season for the Fire.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, you know, the Fire are back, and look what they've done. Golden Boot winner, all this great stuff. Schweinsteiger.
Yeah.
And then just completely crapped the bed.
Let's say this much. They had overall, this is a disappointing end of the year. I think they all would have hoped to have gone a little bit further. This is a positive step for the Chicago Fire organization
as bad as it's been the last couple of seasons.
They're now trending in the right direction. That's a great thing for them. Also concerning in this is that they are now officially eliminated from World Cup. There's no chance for them to list the World Cup now.
Can't do it.
But no, seriously, if there is
Schweinsteiger can't repeat.
Can't. It's just not going to happen. If there is a serious concern in all of this for Chicago, it's the fact that only 10,000 people showed up for this match in Chicago, Bridgeview. Look, this is a playoff game. I know it was short sell time. That's, like, really bad.
Yeah, but the Cubs – oh, wait, no, they were already out.
No, they're already out as well.
Yeah, but the Blackhawks are too early in the season for anyone to
care. Yeah, but the NBA just started to shut up. the league literally doesn't matter for another 3 months. That's bad. That's real bad. And people talk about the issues in Columbus, and I think the Columbus issues are masking the fact that both Chicago and Dallas, Chicago finished a hair ahead of Columbus attendance-wise, but they're not far off. You look at other towns like Colorado and Dallas who are having even worse attendance figures than what Columbus has. There's a lot of stuff that's going on there, and you see those kind of things going, and it's all the good things in, like, the Atlantas are maybe papering over some of the cracks that are existing in that MLS fan base at the moment. So it's just it's something that the league will have to tackle, and obviously they'll need to look into a little bit more.
So Chicago is being moved to Memphis is what you're saying?
Yeah, sure.
That okay. Means,
you heard it from Jeremy's mouth, not mine.
Other matches, Houston getting past Sporting Kansas City 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vancouver squeaked past San Jose 5-0.
Ooh, boy. We just watched the Whitecaps, by the way, draw 0-0 in the first leg of the Western Conference semifinals with Seattle. Really being billed as the matchup out west because of the Cascadia elements to it, obviously. But MLS playoffs been pretty damn interesting so far. It's been a really entertaining start to. Well, hopefully it'll be good. Great.
Yeah, we got Toronto Red Bulls now coming up. That's going to be good.
Yeah, it will be.
And then Houston will take on Portland.
Yeah, that's right. So.
It's good matches there.
There are some matches there. Domestic news continuing. Let's move into USL real quickly. We do have a Final Four set there. Louisville will be hosting New York Red Bulls 2, who are the defending champions, by the way, catching a bit ahead of steam as they won 3-1 over Tampa Bay Rowdies, who I think was probably one of the more dangerous sides in the USL playoffs. Louisville just barely squeaking by in their first round playoff match.
Yeah, against Rochester.
But they do make it through. Out west, all sorts of upsets mean that Oklahoma City Energy will be taking on Swope Park Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca Lowe FC losing in that one.
Mm-hmm. Swope Park defending finalists as well, so there's an opportunity that we're seeing.
So not only that, we have three of the four Final Four teams from last year.
That's a valid point.
In this Final Four group.
Mm-hmm. And I do think Oklahoma were fairly decent last year as well. I think they were in the playoffs too. So there is your Final Four in USL. Did you have any other domestic news you wanted to touch on before we got into a little bit of national team stuff?
I had one little note here, jumping back to MLS real quick. Both Laren and Bill Hamid are heading to Europe, it looks like. Bill Hamid, that job, that's
already done. That one's already sewn up, yep. He's heading to Denmark, I think, with...
something. Some kind of team.
Shoot, now I can't remember who it is. But he's on a 5-year deal. Yeah. Which he's gone. He is for sure gone. Yeah, it looks like Kyle Laren will be heading off to Europe as well. Go get him, Kyle.
Go get him, guy.
Harder to get a DUI when you're being driven everywhere. Oh.
Yeah, they don't or sell not driving. They don't sell Molson over there.
No.
All right, what you got?
So Dave Sarokin was named as the interim manager of the U.S. Men's National Team. Yeah, that happened. It's kind of crazy to think that was in last week. He will be temporarily in charge. The only match that we know he'll for sure be in charge of is an upcoming Portugal friendly in November. 60 players are in the pool right now. 60 players.
And only two of them are good.
Well, that's what we've been told, with a heavy emphasis on youth. And I just wanted to pull out a couple of the names that are being mentioned because I think it is kind of promising that we're seeing some of these names already being dragged into it. Tyler Adams, he's kind of a utility man slash midfielder. He's an 18-year-old for New York Red Bull, starred in the Chicago match recently. He's been called up. He's 18. Matt Miazga. Someone as a Chelsea man, you'll probably like hearing a little bit about him.
Sort of a Chelsea man.
Also a former New York Red Bulls man. Miazga on loan, obviously, from Chelsea at Betise.
Yep.
Second season in a row, which is not a good sign for his Chelsea prospects, but
no.
He is starring for them. Has been routinely in teams of the week in the Eredivisie, and Betise are competitive too. They're in fifth in the league. So
knowing the general path for Chelsea loanees, he will be loaned out next year to a lower Premier League or Championship side and then eventually sold to that team at some point.
Yeah, the Nathan Ake, if you will.
You're going to get Chalaba.
Yeah, that's right. Other young names in this... in this 60-man pool. Not all of these have been leaked out, by the way. Weston McKennie, obviously one of the rising stars in the Bundesliga, who's routinely starring for Schalke at this point. Both he and Pulisic were in the best teenagers in the Bundesliga rankings this past week as well. So he'll be getting a call in. And then Jonathan Gonzalez, the another 18-year-old starring for Monterrey, another midfielder, talks that he's going to be potentially brought in. Yeah, look, he's also played a bunch for the U.S. or for the Mexican national teams at the youth level. So
we'll take it.
And then one can only hope that Tim Weah is going to get a call in for this one.
And Wondolowski.
Yeah. Damn it. But yeah, I do think that's pretty interesting. Look, everyone's like not going to be paying much attention to the national team. I'm legitimately really excited about what's happening with the national team now. Like, we're going to have to see new ideas spun out here.
We're going to need something.
And, like, I'm all for rolling out a team of, like, 17-year-olds against Portugal and getting smashed by them. Like, just let them smash us. Who cares?
Let Charisma dropkick somebody.
God, Charisma. Talking about people who were, like, debuting as 18-year-olds before half these kids were playing. But, yeah, I'm all for that. So, hopefully some fun stuff coming next month with the Yanks.
We're going to jump back actually real quickly. I just remembered we do actually have a question, slightly somewhat MLS related. But, okay. With the whole second leg format. So Whitecaps 0,
mm-hmm.
Seattle 0. Who does have the advantage at this point? Is it Seattle that's going to get it at home and they just need to just take care of business? Or is it the fact that now Vancouver knows we didn't give it up an away goal and now our goals have a little more weight to them going forward?
Yeah, I don't know. The MLS playoffs are tricky. The one thing you can always say about MLS is the home sides tend to win about like 65% of the time, 70% of the time.
Uh-huh.
If you had to guess, it's going to be Seattle to have that home boost, defending champions. This could be one of the last things that Clint Dempsey ever has to fight for. Like, there's been a lot of talk that he could potentially be hanging him up after this year as well. So I think if you have to give it to someone, it would be Seattle. But I'm actually kind of pulling for Vancouver a little bit. I just want something different.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Winners and wankers?
Winners and wankers. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I'll start with my winner. And my winner has to be our friends of the hashtag Save the Crew movement. Completely took over College Game Day on ESPN this weekend. College Game Day did their whole broadcast outside of the Horseshoe, obviously, because you had the big Ohio State-Penn State game that afternoon, and the Save the Crew banners were all over the joint.
It was funny watching a bunch of college football people being like,
"What?
What is happening?
What is this?
That, to be fair, that was probably massive exposure for MLS.
Yeah.
Like, there were probably a lot of people who never, ever, ever think about Major League Soccer who were forced to think at bare minimum about Major League Soccer and maybe take a little bit of interest in what's happening in the league.
We made you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were pointing out that that Save the Crew campaign at College Game Day was more marketing than the Crew has done in the last, like, 2-3 years. Especially when it comes to, I don't know, hey guys, do you have a playoff game? Do you want to market that to anybody? You want to sell them tickets?
Hopefully they pack the joint up.
Your winner.
My winner, I'm going to go with the women who are football fans in the country of Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
As they will finally be legally allowed to enter soccer stadiums starting in January 2018.
And they can actually drive there, I believe, now.
Yeah, right? This coming fresh on the heels of the announcement that Saudi Arabia has legalized female driving. Part of me wanted to give the country of Saudi Arabia, like,
the wanker.
The winner here, right?
Oh, the winner?
Like, this is a good move. This is a positive thing.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, but I feel like...
I also kind of want to give him the wanker.
Because it's like, hey, man, it's...
Because it's like, it's 20...
You waited until 2017 to do this?
Like, bleh. But it is a huge thing from women's rights. Massive move in a country that's kind of been known for suppressing women's rights. So congrats to all the ladies there who will now get to enjoy their football in stadiums and disappointment and have to sit in traffic as they leave as their team has lost.
I'm guessing they don't sell beer at these.
No, that's probably a big fat no.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
just going out and enjoy the heat.
You'll get there. Yeah. You'll get there one of these days.
What about your wanker?
My wanker goes to Salford City's goalkeeper, Max Crombie. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Some kind of British name.
He's not listening.
He was red carded this weekend for, you have one guess, why would this keeper be red carded? I think we've actually done this like a year or two ago. We talked about a keeper. Actually, it was the same situation. It was a keeper in a lower division soccer getting red carded for
eating pies.
No, that was goalkeeper coach.
Ah, okay.
The answer was urinating.
Ah, man, that was my second guess. It literally was my second guess.
Yeah. He got red carded for urinating.
Did he do it on the field?
Yeah, I don't know if he did, like, the whole, like, you know, remember when Landon did that at the Azteca?
Oh, man, all of us.
The old lean with the...
Us who have played for any extended period of time have done the lean pee at some point or another. Like, it's just, we've all done it.
We used to have a dog, and I'd have to take the dog out, like, late at night.
Yeah.
And when I go to sleep, like, I generally wear, like, a t-shirt and then, like, soccer shorts or some kind of like gym shorts.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do the lean bet.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, I got to go too, dog.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Hey, great idea.
I think I got to do that too.
Hey, a little. I'm just picking something up down.
Yeah, it's like 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Our neighbors are like 100 years old, so they've been in bed since 7:30.
Oh man, now we're gonna have all of our podcast fanatics trailing around Trenton looking for a man peeing with his dog.
Well, I don't have a dog.
You don't have a dog anymore. So, I suppose that's true. But that is the best red card I've heard of this week, for sure.
Your wanker.
My wanker, just like with my other one, where I could have given the wanker the winner and vice versa. We're going to do it again on this one. Worse than a full kit wanker, a guy showed up to Leicester City's King Power Stadium today dressed in an outfit straight from a David Squires cartoon. I don't know if you're familiar with David Squire.
He's what is that?
He's a cartoonist that works for The Guardian. He does it's kind of like The Far Side, but it's for soccer. Right. It's probably the best way to explain it. But he's really, really good. But David Squires had a cartoon where there were two guys literally covered in poppies questioning a soccer player wearing a poppy, saying, like, how many forms did you have to fill out to become an ISIS member? Just because poppies are getting ridiculous in English football.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
If you're not really sure what I'm even talking about with poppies, it's the little red flower that you see, like, stitched on a jersey, worn on the lapel of the manager's.
Unfortunately, the iron-on ones that they've been putting on jerseys sort of look like a butthole.
Yeah, a little bit. These red flowers are worn for Remembrance Day, which is the UK's version of Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
That takes place on November 11th. So, key word here, November 11th. We're still 2 weeks away from this.
Sure.
These poppies are already making appearances everywhere.
Right.
There was a guy at the King Power today literally wearing a head-to-toe outfit of poppies.
It's pretty good.
It's kind of like a full kit wanker, but a poppy kit.
So what was he trying to say
about it? I don't know. See, this is my thing. Like, part of me is like, oh, what a douche. He's like worse than a full kit wanker. Then the other side of me is like, but what if he was doing it to be ironic?
He's just winding everyone up.
And then that's where I'm like, man, I should give him my winner, not my wanker. Like, that's actually kind of awesome. But in absence of actually knowing it, I'm just going to assume that he's a full kit wanker of poppies.
What would be the American version of that? Like, head to toe.
American flag get up?
Yeah, but that happens a lot.
It does.
A ton.
Which, by the way, for people who are all gung-ho about respecting the flag, yeah, that one's probably a direct, not probably, is 100% in violation of all this kind of stuff.
Well, so. Definitely if you do the flag cape.
Yeah.
Flag cape is, that's like a death penalty sin as far as a flag code goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably the closest thing you would have. Because we don't wear something. What is it, the yellow ribbons? Are those for soldiers at war?
That's for when Iran has a bunch of our hostages.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I think that's like the closest to it. Like, think of someone showing up and wearing like 4,000 yellow ribbons.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably as close as you can get.
Or just like paint your whole body with like, don't tread on me.
Snake wraps around your face. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I guess that's it. But yeah, there's my.
And what was that on? That was on. There was someone that did that on what comic was that? Family Circus.
Yeah, Family Circus, definitely. The English soccer Family Circus.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, at that count, when Family Circus comes into the equation, that's when you know your podcast has peaked. As always, if you want to get involved in our show, give us a ring electronically. Via email, you can get us at contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance.
If you have questions,
mm-hmm.
concerns, comments,
insults.
Yeah, we'll take them.
We'll read your insults on air.
Oh, absolutely.
It's an invitation that we probably shouldn't be opening. But.
And yet, here we are.
Yeah. As always, you can get me at Wrong Side of the Pond. We'll catch you next week.
All right, folks.
See you soon. Strange in the neighborhood.